Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. Whether you are here in person or worshiping with us on Facebook Live on this Sunday morning, we do share an open communion every week. And if you are with us virtually, I hope that you will have communion elements available to you as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together later in our service. I remind you that all are invited to Christ's table. And those here are asked to take your cups with you as you leave and dispose of them in the receptacle that is provided. We share in our offerings to God by placing our gifts in the offering tray at the sanctuary doors or by mailing gifts to the church office. Please keep in mind that the work of the church continues 7 days a week. Cakes are needed for our upcoming St. Pat's meal program, which will be on August 11th. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board. Please sign up as you are able. And a reminder that Cuyahoga County is now in the orange zone once again in the highest transmission level. So please be aware and be safe, especially when you gather indoors, which I admit I was lax this morning and did not have my mask on, and we've all gotten a little laxed, but please keep yourself safe when you are indoors as much as possible. With that, let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. Scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, reading from the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Hear these words. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Thanks be to God for these words as they come to us from the Gospel of Luke. The late spiritual writer Father Anthony DeMello told the story of a rich industrialist who was horrified to find a fisherman lying lazily beside his boat smoking a pipe. "Why aren't you out fishing?" the rich man asked. "Because I've caught enough fish for the day," said the fisherman. "Well, why don't you catch some more?" "What would I do with it?" was the reply. "Oh, you could earn more money," the industrialist told him. "With that, you could have a motor put on your boat and go into deeper waters and catch more fish. Then you would make enough to buy nylon nets and a bigger boat. These would bring you more fish and more money. Soon you'd have enough to own two boats, maybe even a fleet of boats. Then you'd be a rich man like me." "Well, what would I do then?" he was asked. "Then you could really enjoy life," the fisherman was told. To which the fisherman replied, "What do you think I'm doing now?" It seems just about everyone I know has a collection of something. Some kind of memorabilia or tools or salt and pepper shakers or dolls or antiques or fishing reels. You get the picture. It used to be a joke around my house for years when my kids would look at my various collections and ask, "Mom, what are you going to do with all of that?" And I'd answer, "Well, I don't have to worry about it. That's your legacy. It's your choice." To which they would always reply, "I guess it's time for a big yard sale." Having moved twice in the last 6 years, I admit I've downsized a lot. The bulk of my collections of various items are gone. There's something instructive and constructive about doing that, which is another entirely different story, not for today. But for a time, for sure, my stuff brought me joy. At least I thought it did. But now much of it is gone, and some days there are a few things that I do miss. But even with what's left, I wonder about it and its future. Like my mother's good china that she was so proud of that came out for every Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter dinner with all of the family gathered around. Now these days when family does gather, it's usually a gathering suitable for the best and heaviest paper plates, not the good china. And if we're all together, there's too many of us to sit around one table, at least in my apartment, and we're better off grabbing and mingling and finding a seat wherever we can. So the china sits in the cupboard, gathering dust, but I can't bear to let it go. Today we're confronted with this story that Jesus tells about the man who stored up grain for many seasons in his barns with such a surplus that he thought of building bigger barns. It would have been plain to Jesus' audience that this man had ignored his stewardship responsibilities. He probably had left no grain for the gleaners or the widows or the orphans. And while Jesus warns against greed of all kinds, the man is not condemned for what he does, more in the way he does it. The great irony of this parable is that the rich fool has done everything right. He has done exactly what any of us would have done in similar circumstances. Anyone with a savings or IRA account or a pension can attest to that. He is prudent. He has not thinkingly harmed others. He has only protected what was his, protected his family by thinking and planning ahead. But the real world story is that more, not less, is demanded of the rich fool, and by extension, of each of us. Prudence is not enough. Safeguarding our assets does not bring peace or security of the kind that Jesus talked about. This very night, your life is being demanded of you, says Jesus. Our very being is what the Lord requires of each of us every day and night of our existence on this planet. The rich fool of Jesus' parable has lost control, or at least the illusion of control. And this is perhaps the most disturbing factor of this whole scenario. For we all treasure being in charge of our own destiny. We all want to believe that we can get our needs met by our own effort and our own industry. Our society and media teach us as much. Yet it is precisely this illusion of control and possession, this false treasure, that takes us further from God and others, and most impoverishes our spirits. How does the rich fool answer his own question? I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will build larger ones. I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. I. Somehow this man has lost the connections beyond himself. He doesn't see beyond the edges of his own fields. Those with no grain don't even cross his mind. He's created a world for himself and isolated himself in it. And by implication, he has no need of God. And before we shake our heads and point our fingers at this man, don't we do the same? We think of what we have as ours, and we seldom put God in the equation at all. And we think that Jesus certainly isn't talking about us. Oh, certainly not us. And certainly not us as a whole, as a congregation, or as a part of Christ's church. But Jesus is speaking to us. Following Jesus calls us beyond ourselves as individuals and as a congregation. This story is not just about what we do personally with our bank accounts and our grain and our garages and our barns and our collections. It has implications for what we do together in all areas of life. The story compels us to examine ourselves, our congregation, our lives, and our life together. And while I don't imagine that worry about having enough in this life will ever fully leave us. I do think we need to allow ourselves to be touched and shaped by what it means to be rich toward God in our own lives and in our life together as church. Can we join together in helping each other reorient our lives as church away from selfishness and greed and desire to control and more toward a kingdom vision of life in God's world? Can we start seriously asking ourselves together as church, what are the real needs of God's world and how can we best work toward solutions? Will we care enough to reach beyond our attitudes and find something more than what we thought belonged exclusively to us? My barns, my house, my collections, my building, my desires, my life. And let the real owner, the one who's really in charge, put it to use in changing this community of faith and the wider community, and thus the world. In reality, we are all going to die someday. Yet in faith, we are all going to live forever. Today's gospel lesson challenges us to live the only kind of life that matters, a life for others, a life for God. We are freed to leave behind worry about ourselves and our future. Not only can we give up our long-cherished treasures and illusions of wealth and mastery, we must give them up in order to abandon ourselves to the extravagance of God's love and generosity and abundance. Thanks be to God. Amen.